You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it is time right now for another episode of Your Health, and Dr. Eric Grigsby is going to be our guest here in just a moment. The program is brought to you by Neurovations, and Dr. Grigsby, welcome and good morning.
Hey, good morning, Barry. How are you?
I'm just about as good as I ever am, which, you know.
Well, I'm sure the crew there all agrees with that, and I hope you guys all had a happy Easter weekend.
Yeah, same to you. We're going to talk a little bit today about something called neuromodulation, and I feel pretty bad about myself because I really don't have any idea what this is, so I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn today.
You're definitely not alone, and I hate to give the morning drive team a complicated word, but it's really one of the coolest things ever that's happening in medicine these days. And neuromodulation really is a long word that means changing the nervous system, right? So neuro, nervous system, and modulation, mm-hmm. Changing it, mm-hmm. And it's based on this idea that the electrical system, or I'll say the nervous system, is made up of sort of a neuro, electrical, and chemical conduits, right? So if you have you put your finger on something hot, there's an electrical signal that goes clear from your finger, up your arm, into your spinal cord, and to your brain. And it's not until that hot sensation gets to your brain that you feel it. Okay, this is complicated a little bit, but the thing is that the arm and the spinal cord provide a target for us to change that sensation of heat before it gets to your noggin where you sense it as pain. Any questions about that? Are you good so far?
I think I've got that.
Okay. But the practical application of this is mainly this concept of spinal cord stimulation. And we have ways that are used in the clinic every day today. We have ways to put a small little electrode, a little wire onto the spinal cord in the spine and connect it to a little pacemaker type apparatus. And what that does is it changes the signal of pain that patients have. Let's say that they have pain from the low back and the legs, and it goes up through the spinal cord, like we said, and eventually to the brain where you feel it. But this little wire that we put on the spinal cord changes that sensation from pain to another sensation that's not painful, like vibration, or a warm sensation, or a sensation that's not perceived as pain, but more comfortable. Now, that's a strange thing, isn't it?
That is a little science fiction-y sounding to me.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's the coolest thing ever. And it's really one of the kind of the really hot advances in medicine in general, is the ability to give energy to the nerves and change pain, and also to receive energy from the brain and spinal cord that allows us to do other things. A lot of people have heard of Elon Musk's Neuralink project, and there are many others where we take a brain signal and try to do something with it. This is a little bit the opposite of that, where we give energy to the spinal cord, but in a way that really changes pain and into something that's more tolerable.
Now, you said you actually have to insert something into the spinal cord?
Well, around the spinal cord. So, you know, let's use the example of a pacemaker. You know, when a pacemaker is put in, you put a little needle into one of the veins and near on the way to the heart, and you put a little wire into the heart, and it sits there, and then it gives a signal to the heart to tell it to contract at a certain time. And that little wire is connected to a battery and a little computer that sits on the patient's chest, and you may under the skin. So you may know someone had a pacemaker, and you see the little gadget under the skin of their chest, and that wire goes into the heart. Well, the neuromodulation systems that we use, we just put a little needle in the back, like an epidural, like ladies have for childbirth sometimes. We use that same technique, and we put a needle in there and then put a little wire through it. and then attach it to a little battery that goes under the skin, a little battery and a computer that goes under the skin. And that computer is the fancy part, and it's it gives a little electricity, a little signal to the spinal cord that makes pain kind of go away. And that's the sweet trick of this.
Wow. Does it function by itself, or does the person who has it have to push a button or something to make it?
It can do both. Most of our patients today, there's been a lot of advances in this field in 10 years or so. But most of our patients today, it's on most of the time, but they have a little handheld gadget that they can turn it on and off and up and down according to their needs.
So when you're putting this wire in there, is it just a general effect on all of the nerve activity in the spine? Because there's got to be thousands of pathways, I'm assuming. It's not my, as you know, not my area of expertise. But are you targeting a specific nerve when you put it in there?
Well, that's a really good question. So the amazing thing about the nervous system, the spinal cord too, is that it's organized in a really specific way. So if we put the needle, we're in the operating room, let's say that, and I put the little wire in the spine, and we turn a little bit of energy on, so it's super comfortable for the patient, and they feel a vibration. And if I move that electrode a little bit to the left, they feel it in the left leg. If I move it a little bit to the right, they feel it in the right leg. If I move it down a little bit, they feel it in the foot. If I move it up a little bit towards the head, they feel it up higher in the leg. So we can move that electrode where the patient's pain is, like that, and then sort of lock it in place, and then attach it to the little battery, and that energy goes into the area of the spinal cord that carries their pain.
All right. So the next obvious question is, for whom is this a good approach? What kind of pain issues, and are there, you know, age issues, other condition issues, and so on?
Yeah, it's great. So obviously it's used for patients that have situations that are pretty serious pain problems, you know, that simple things haven't been helpful enough. Conservative care, you would say, things like, you know, physical therapy and anti-inflammatory medications, and even stronger medications for nerve pain. And sometimes even surgery, let's say spine surgery has been performed and it's been done very well, but the patient still has a lot of pain in the back and legs. So that's the most common reason for this device to be placed. So it's obviously a pretty severe kind of life-changing bit of pain, you know, that patients have had for a long time. It's not something you do in the first little period after an injury, let's say. But for those people, it's really remarkable, and it saves us having to use so many pain pills and opioids and all of that stuff, which is also kind of a big advantage. You know, although there's a real role for medicines and pain practice, but I think the less, the better.
It seems to me, in my familiarity with people who've had significant back issues and have had surgeries and so on, there gets to a point where doing more surgery is maybe more risky, as I understand it. You may not have the outcome, you know, after a while. Is that true?
I think that's right. I think it's very individual, but I think, you know, all of our surgical colleagues would tell you that, you know, and back surgery has been one of the real advances in many ways in medicine and surgery in the past 25 years. But, you know, there's a place where if it's pain that we're dealing with, only pain and not neurologic compromise, where we're not losing feeling and strength. Sometimes a big operation on the spine is not the best for pain. I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but not the best. So we're looking for other simpler alternatives, right? So things that are reversible and easier to do and less risk to the patient. That's always the way to start.
We're talking with Dr. Eric Grigsby today about neuromodulation. And, you know, if you showed me this, you know, time travel back to the 70s, the 80s, you'd just say, oh, this is crazy. This will never happen. But that's true of a lot of medical things these days.
Yeah, it's the truth. And this is one of the most dynamic areas of medicine because it leans on battery technology. Now we're able to put these devices in patients that have a battery that's more or less, that doesn't need to be recharged, and it still lasts for several years depending on how much they use it. So battery technology that's really out of the technology, you know, the iPhone and similar technology has a lot of applications in medicine, and that's one area that's really helped the kind of the availability of these implanted devices. And then, you know, the information you can put on a microchip now is incredible. So we can we can have these devices that respond to patients' movement, so they give a little more or less energy depending on when the patient needs it. We even have a device that's just getting into the market that has a little feedback loop in it that tries to determine, you know, how much energy is needed upstream and feeds back to the gadget and gives that amount of energy. So it's pretty amazing stuff, and it's for a fairly small number of people. But boy, when you need it, you need it. And, you know, I've been super lucky to be involved in this since the mid 80s when I was out at Mayo and in Rochester, and it's sort of took it on as a part of my practice and been fortunate to kind of be in the middle of the development of all these things over a long time.
Yeah. So the person who previously felt the sensation of pain when this thing is doing what it's supposed to do, you said they instead would feel a bit of warmth or something like a vibration.
That's about right. Yeah, that's about right. There's some situations now where we can give enough energy to stop the pain, but the patient has no sensation of pain or the device. But, you know, and that's much of that's just in development, but historically we would turn the pain signal into a sort of a vibratory signal. But now, as we learn how to different ways to give the energy from our engineering colleagues, we can give the energy in a way that the patient doesn't feel it. And all it does is soften up the pain.
Wow. I feel like the next step in this, you're probably already working on this, rather than something sort of neutral like a vibration, can you fine tune it to where, say, instead of pain, you get the feeling of falling in love or just ate a piece of chocolate or something like that?
Yeah, well, careful what you ask for. You know, it's a little more complicated because all of the feelings are held inside your noggin. You know, and there's this bony thing that gets between us and stimulation.
Well, you can put a wire in there too, can't you?
Well, actually, yes. So the short answer is yes. But I can't.
Yeah.
Our neurosurgical colleagues do actually use what's called deep brain stimulation for a number of purposes now, mainly for the tremor associated with Parkinson's disease, and for epilepsy, and for there's an FDA-approved device that's being developed for obsessive compulsive disorder and some sort and other serious sort of psychiatric illnesses. But the big thing in the noggin is transcranial application of energy, right? So there are these great systems, and I'm not involved directly in those, although I'm plugged into this community, but where patients put on a certain kind of a cap with a whole lot of little electrodes on it, and it gives a little bit of energy into the noggin. It sounds totally like science fiction, but actually has a nice application potentially for mood and affective disorders and also possibly for pain, but that's all really heavily, quickly under development right now.
So to come back to neuromodulation, is there a particular patient, people listening might be wondering, this might be what I need based on the pain that I have. Who is it appropriate for and who is it not appropriate for?
Well, the most common time we use it is for a patient that's had a back injury, a low back or neck injury.
Yeah.
And they've had the right treatment and they've had surgery most of the time and it's been successful technically, but yet the pain persists in the neck and arms or in the back and the legs. That's the most common time that we use this device. The second most common is when somebody has an injury to the arm or leg. And for some unknown reason, some patients develop just this persistent nerve pain, burning nerve pain of the arms and legs. And some people call it CRPS, or used to be called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, RSD. There's a lot of patients that have it know exactly what it is, they've been told. But for that nerve pain, persistent kind of, you know, really pretty severe pain of the arms and legs, this device can be very helpful.
quite amazing technology that we've come to take for granted a lot of times. And, you know, I'm not even surprised to learn that you can put a wire in somewhere anymore. It's just like astonishing. Yep. So, yep. Is this a kind of a procedure that someone's health insurance will cover?
Yes. So it's this is well accepted. It's FDA approved. There are four big companies, the largest medical device companies in the world, that are in this space and developing and innovating. Most of these devices are many of them are FDA approved for certain indications. And they're covered by Medicare and all of the private insurers under the right conditions, you know, for medical necessity. And the good news is this whole process, although it sounds sort of sci-fi, you know, and technically amazing, but it's really an outpatient procedure. There's no need for staying overnight. We do these at our surgery center here in Napa, Napa Surgery Center, part of our practice. And, you know, it can be done in about an hour. There's a trial period, which I guess I should say. That most of the time, in fact, almost all the time, we can put that electro little wire in the back temporarily and leave it in for a few days so the patient can see how it feels and understand if it might be helpful before we come back for, you know, the more long-term implant.
Mm-hmm. Very fascinating. It's been our Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby program, which is brought to you by Neurovations, patient care and innovations company, providing the best care for every patient every day. And would you tell folks listening how they can get in touch and learn more?
Sure. Well, our website has a bunch of information about neuromodulation and other pain treatments, and that's NapaPainInstitute.com. It's NapaPainInstitute.com. And if you want to learn more, talk to one of us in the office. You can call Kimberly at 252-9660. It's in Napa, 707-252-9660.
Thank you, Dr. Grigsby. Another interesting segment. We're learning things week to week.
Great, Barry. Thanks a lot for your time. Hope you have a great week.
You too. Take care.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.